from the capital city of Charleston, West Virginia, this is Inside West Virginia Politics with Mark Curtis. Inside West Virginia Politics is brought to you by AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Inside West Virginia Politics. I'm your host, Mark Curtis. The parade of political candidates continues, especially in the race for governor. I want to introduce our current Attorney General, Patrick Morrissey, Republican of West Virginia, who this past week announced he's running for governor. Great to have you on the program.
Good to be with you, Mark. Thank you.
Why do you want to be governor of West Virginia?
You know, I want to be governor for West Virginia because West Virginia needs a proven conservative with a track record of getting big, big things done for our state. Mark, I've worked on some of the most important challenges facing West Virginia. We've been all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, saving so many thousands of West Virginia jobs. We stand up for the Hope Scholarship. We actually had the very big victory up at the West Virginia Supreme Court. So on every issue, jobs issue, on education issues, on keeping the woke ideas out of West Virginia, we've been out in front and leading. I want to take that to the next level as governor because we need someone with that proven record of accomplishment. A lot of people are going to come in and talk about what they want to do. I actually want people to know there's someone who's been there, done that, accomplished big things, and it'll be a very easy transition to governor.
It's a different job, though. I mean, you're the state's chief legal officer right now. You become the state's chief executive officer. It's, like I say, a different job. Talk about some of the initiatives you might start on your own or initiate and try and get through the legislature.
Absolutely. I think one of the things we have to focus on is people are struggling in West Virginia and inflation has ravaged our state. We need to make sure that hardworking people get more take-home pay. And that could be additional tax cuts. It could be new job starts and economic opportunities for them. We have to focus again on educational excellence. I'd expand school choice. That would be a top priority. And then really zero in and focus on growing the workforce participation rate and our population. Mark, one of the things that I found is the last few weeks as I've been reading up is that there are over 65,000 open jobs here in West Virginia. Very difficult to fill them. Just imagine if we could succeed as a state in filling half of them right away. What would that do to the economy? It would supercharge it. Then we can reinvest that money back into the people's pockets and really start to see an economic renaissance.
You mentioned the word or the phrase tax cuts. 21% in change this year, the possibility of 10% next year, 10% after that. The goal of the current governor is to completely wipe out the personal income tax. Is that feasible if you get elected governor?
I do think it's feasible, and I think we need to be pushing to reduce and or eliminate as many taxes as possible. Look, there were decades of mismanagement that we're still struggling to overcome that put the state in a very difficult position. I think if you want to be successful as a state, you have to make sure you have lower tax rates than any of the states that you touch. You have to have a competitive education system. School choice is a big start, but we're going to keep going further. You have to have the right physical infrastructure, broadband that doesn't move at the speed of slow. And also, we have to keep tackling the drug epidemic. I've done a lot of work. I'm going to be able to continue. Quite frankly, when you bring the full weight and force of the whole state executive branch behind it on issues like drugs or others, that's why I'm so excited to run.
We live in a state that has a boom and bust economy based on the cycles of the coal and fossil fuel industry. When I moved here 8 years ago, we were $500 million in the red. Now we have $1 billion surplus, but it goes up and down and up and down. With that in mind, some people say it's irresponsible to promise, well, to get rid of the income tax 5 or 6 years from now when we don't really know we're going to be on that boom and bust cycle.
See, I think I'd look at it a little bit differently because we need to leverage our energy resources. One of the things I've told people is that we need to have an energy governor, someone who's going to be investing a lot of time and energy to ensure that our coal-fired power plants stay online. Look, they're talking about 100 million cars that they want to electrify over the course of the next decade or so. How are you going to do it? You do it through beautiful, clean coal. You also do it through, you have natural gas, which is critical for our state. I think we need to double down and look at that Appalachian storage hub. But if you build on the energy industry, that could be incredibly important. And the manufacturing jobs, there's going to be a lot of focus on that. When I'm governor, all the woke ideas are going to stop at the state border. And I'm the only proven conservative running with a deep track record of getting big things done. I'm the only one who's taken on the swamp, the only one who's won on every big issue. People know I have a strong record, and we have a vision for the future that's going to help West Virginia be that great shining state in the mountains.
All right. Real quick, you got a website where people can find out more
Absolutely.
Of your campaign stuff.
It's patrickmorrissey.com, two R's and one S. Go volunteer. We just did a 7-city tour across the state. No other candidate's doing that. Why? I want to take our message to every county across West Virginia.
Best of luck to you. We'll have you back right before the primary. Patrick Morrissey, the Attorney General of the state of West Virginia, now running for governor. We'll have more of Inside West Virginia Politics after this break.
Inside West Virginia Politics is brought to you by AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State.
And we welcome you back this weekend to Inside West Virginia Politics. There continue to be concerns across the land about potential cuts in Medicare for our seniors. We are joined right now by Kristen Groh. She is with the Coalition for Medicare Choices. Kristen joins us from Washington, D.C. Great to have you on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, we all remember President Biden in his State of the Union address challenging the Republicans in Congress and his fellow Democrats to do everything they can to prevent any cuts from Medicare or Social Security. But now there are concerns there could be cuts potentially to part of the Medicare program known as Medicare Advantage. What is Medicare Advantage, first of all?
Sure. When you become eligible for Medicare, you have a choice. You can enroll in Original Medicare, which is fully run and administered by the federal government. You can also choose a Medicare Advantage plan, which covers what Original Medicare covers and a whole lot more. These are offered by private health insurance providers in partnership with the federal government, and they cover things, many of these plans cover things like prescription drug benefits, dental, vision, and hearing services, preventive care services. They have out-of-pocket maximums, and they just cover a whole lot more and provide a lot more value for seniors and people with disabilities.
There's an organization known as CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. It has given some indication there'll either be a rate increase or a service decrease when it comes to Medicare Advantage. What are your concerns there? And what indication do we have that they may do that, in fact?
Every year, CMS, which is the agency that you referenced, puts out an advance notice, which is what they plan to invest in the Medicare Advantage plans for the next benefit year. And what we have seen this year is they're proposing billions of dollars in cuts to this program at the same time that the Medicare trustees are estimating that healthcare costs for seniors for next year will go up about 5%. So to decrease benefits in an important healthcare coverage program as healthcare costs continue to go up, that's just not sustainable. And it would be very harmful to the more than 31 million Americans today who choose Medicare Advantage.
Yeah, I want to frame this, too, in terms of what it would mean to people in West Virginia, because we have one of the highest senior citizen populations in the nation. I believe 43% of our Medicare recipients in the state also have Medicare Advantage. That's about 190,000 West Virginians. What would this mean to them? How devastating could this be?
This could be very harmful for them. What we're talking about, if this decreased investment does happen, is that we'll could very likely see higher premiums for seniors and people with disabilities and fewer benefits for them. And that's really a problem. You know, the Medicare Advantage plans have been doing such a great job of delivering for seniors and people with disabilities. Both Senators Capito and Senators Manchin have been on record of supporting this program. And these plans have been going down in terms of premium costs to where the average premium today is just $18 a month for seniors. They could very well see their premiums go up. They could see fewer benefits, and that could really undermine their health and their financial stability for the future.
Yeah, I got to tell you, on a personal note, I'm very concerned about this. I will turn 64 years old in May, and I'm getting close to retirement age and getting ready to go on Medicare. And so obviously this is of concern to me. What do you suggest? You talk about Senators Manchin and Capito. What do you suggest the public does, AARP or some of the other advocacy organizations? Is there a way they can put some pressure on Congress and put the brakes on this? Or what are you advising in terms of advocacy?
Absolutely. It's so important for our leaders in Congress and in the White House to hear from our seniors about how important their health care coverage is for them. So we would encourage all of the seniors, all the people with disabilities or with people who have seniors in their lives that they're caring for, to reach out to their senators, their House of their representatives in the House, let them know how important this is. call the White House, let them know that this is just the wrong direction for Medicare Advantage, and the Medicare Advantage program deserves to be protected.
Kristen, we're down to 1 minute. Give us your website and tell us where folks can get more information about this problem and how to fix it.
Our coalition is the Coalition for Medicare Choices. We represent millions of seniors who have Medicare Advantage. You can find us at medicarechoices.org.
All right. We want to thank Kristen Groh, who is, again, with the Coalition for Medicare Choices. And we will repeat the website because it's important people know it, medicarechoices.org. Kristen, thanks. Great information. We'll talk to you again as this issue continues to develop.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. We'll have more of Inside West Virginia Politics after this break. Don't go away.
Inside West Virginia Politics is brought to you by AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State.
And we welcome you back this weekend to Inside West Virginia Politics. Boy, the political announcements, they just keep on coming. I want to introduce State Senator Ryan Weld, Republican of Brook County, the majority whip in the state Senate, who announced this past week he's running for Attorney General. Ryan, good to see you. Why do you want to be Attorney General of West Virginia?
Because, Mark, I can think of no greater honor as an attorney to have the state of West Virginia as your client, to be the head of the office that defends West Virginia in our court of law, that fights for West Virginia in our court of law, but also is responsible for overseeing consumer complaints for our citizens, abusive complaints against our elders across the state. And I really just see that as something that would be the highest honor that an attorney could have, is to be able to represent the state that has given them so much and be able to play that role.
You've been in the House of Delegates and the state Senate. Give us a little bit of your background that you feel qualifies you to be the state's top law officer.
So I think that my background kind of has uniquely prepared me to take on the role as Attorney General for West Virginia. First and foremost, I am an attorney. I've been a practicing attorney for a number of years here in the state. I was a former prosecutor in Brook County. So, you know, this Attorney General, Patrick Morrissey, has done a wonderful job of fighting back against the opioid problem that we have here in the state. And as an assistant prosecutor in Brook County, I obviously dealt a lot with that in the court of law myself. And that has prompted me in the legislature to make that one of my priorities, fighting back against substance abuse, not just on the criminal law side, but also on ways to find opportunities for those who are suffering from addiction to once again become productive members of the state of West Virginia. But in addition to that, I think that my military experience, being a captain in the Air Force, in the years that I served, the lessons in leadership that I learned as a member of the military, lessons that I learned on my deployment in Afghanistan, really kind of have all prepared me for this role and to be able to lead the state of West Virginia, and again, to fight and defend for this state in our court of law. Because West Virginia, Mark, I'm sure you know, we are a changing state. We are a growing state. And over the past couple of years, West Virginia has been on a trajectory to become a new state from what we've been in the past, and really kind of creating up a lot of unique opportunities for those who have stayed here and opportunities for those who have left to come back home. And I think that someone who has been a part of those changes, someone who has played a role in those changes happening, really should be the one to take that leadership role on in fighting and defending that new West Virginia that we see coming down the road, and what we're becoming slowly and quickly, it seems just recently, the changes that we've seen here. And so I think it's important to look at that and see that someone who has been a part of those changes, someone who has played a part in making them happen, should be the next person to take on those challenges in representing and defending West Virginia against federal overreach, against laws that, you know, we feel here in West Virginia over the past couple of years, that a lot of the industries that have made West Virginia what it is have come under attack by the federal government. And so we're going to need somebody who is assured in what they're doing and being able to defend that and make sure that, you know, our way of life here in West Virginia isn't, steps taken by Washington to stop the progress that we've had. And I think that's a very important thing that we need to consider moving forward.
We're down to 1 minute, Senator Weld. you mentioned what you would keep, that the current attorney general has done some of his policies. What would you change? What would you do different? Name an initiative that you want to start, and also give your campaign website too.
So I think one of the things that I would like to see the attorney general be, is a resource to municipalities across the state. You know, I'm the city attorney for Wellsburg, where I live, and one of the things that we have the most problems with are property owners and dilapidated properties in our city, and that's a problem that every city across the state faces. And so I think that if the attorney general office can serve as a resource for those cities that don't currently have that, to be able to go after these property owners and take back control of their cities, I think that could really make a huge, significant change across this state. So that's one thing that I would like to see the office become and take on. My campaign website is ryanweld.com, and that will have information about me, about our campaign, and about our plans for the future as the next Attorney General of the state of West Virginia.
We want to thank State Senator Ryan Weld, now a Republican candidate for Attorney General, for joining us. Best of luck on the campaign trail. We'll have you back on as we get to the primary. Thanks, Senator.
Thank you, Mark. We'll talk to you soon.
More of Inside West Virginia Politics after this break.
Inside West Virginia Politics is brought to you by AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State.
And we welcome you back this weekend to Inside West Virginia Politics. For our final segment, we're going to talk business in the legislature. I want to introduce Steve Roberts, who is the president of the West Virginia Chamber of Commerce, a good friend of the show. It's good to have you back.
Mark, thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. You guys this week issued your annual report card, the 2023 Legislative Scorecard. What is this, basically? You do this every year.
You know, we've been evaluating the work of the legislature now for several decades, and we have a process. We bring a lot of people in. We say, what bills mattered to you if they related to job creation and economic development, business climate friendliness, general health and well-being, supporting good education, and diversity, because we want to make our state a diverse state so that we can really be competitive in the 21st century.
You were tracking 12 different bills. Talk about what was that kind of the focus of the legislation you were grading?
So we had bills that focused on energy development, economic development projects. We had bills that focused on tax. What we think is that gave us a good broad review of the bills that were considered by the legislature. We got to take a look at voting records, and then we also evaluated whether a legislator provided leadership on economic development bills, and whether a legislator made it easy to work with.
We should mention 15 members of the Senate and 24 members of the House scored 100%, where they were graded 100% by you guys. I want to talk about the tax reform bill, because that was the biggest piece of legislation, a 21% tax cut this year on the personal income tax. Why is that important to your organization? What do you think the benefits will be?
You know, Mark, we're glad to be in a position in West Virginia that we can talk about reducing taxes instead of increasing taxes. And we've lived through all of that. We've lived through periods where we really couldn't meet our obligations and couldn't pay our bills. We're now in a position that we have lots of extra money, and that money all comes from the taxpayers. So if we're going to make ourselves attractive, if we are going to be the kind of state that people want to move to, we want to be competitive on many levels. And one of the levels that we want to be competitive on is tax. So the opportunity to have over 21% reduction in the personal income tax looks to us like the right move for West Virginia at this time. The legislature exercised some caution and said, you know, we could go farther.
Let's talk about energy policy, because this is still a fossil fuel state with coal and natural gas, but there's really a welcoming now to green energy. Most of the new companies that are coming here, like Berkshire Hathaway and Form Energy and others, have a green component. They're going to power with solar and wind in addition to other, you know, traditional forms of energy. But how important is it that we are diversifying our energy portfolio in the state and that people are welcoming it?
You know, and I would say that we are seeing lots of welcoming to the energy sector across, whether it's the fossil fuel sector or the renewable sector. And what we're seeing is that many of the companies have diversified. West Virginia will continue to be a coal-producing state and a natural gas-producing state for many years to come. But we're also finding that we can create electricity by wind power. We can use the sunshine that we have, and we have some hydroelectric opportunities. We're learning more about battery creation, and West Virginia may become a hub for battery creation. All of these things are going to be good for our national energy picture, and they are positioning West Virginia to be a real player in the energy world in the decades to come.
You know, it occurs to me this legislative session they passed, I forget, $150 million to set up the project for Form Energy up in the Eastern Panhandle. Last legislative session, it was a couple hundred million dollars for Nucor Steel and other subsidies to get these businesses to come here. How critical is that, that the legislature is setting aside money for business development to try to help these people land here?
That's right. In both cases, these economic development incentives were developed by the West Virginia Development Office. The Development Office wanted these incentives. And we're seeing hundreds, and when you look at the various companies, now thousands of jobs that have been created in West Virginia because we were able to provide those incentives.
Are you optimistic looking forward to next legislative session?
Mark, I am an optimist. I see West Virginia moving in the right direction. We have steadily added jobs since 2016, and we're seeing good things happen in our state. Those jobs bring a better living for families. They bring a broader, bigger tax base, and they position our state well for the future. I'm optimistic about what we're seeing.
Well, it's an exciting time to be here in West Virginia. We want to thank Steve Roberts, President of the West Virginia Chamber of Commerce. As always, we'll have you back soon, okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And thank you for watching Inside West Virginia Politics. Remember, we are a podcast, so download us from your favorite podcast vendor. We'll see you back here next weekend. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Inside West Virginia Politics. You can hear more from state, local, and federal lawmakers each and every Sunday morning on WOWK-TV in Charleston, WBOY-TV in Clarksburg, WDVM in the Eastern Panhandle, WTRF in Wheeling, and WVNS in Beckley. You can also find a new episode of the Inside West Virginia Politics podcast right here on this feed every Monday morning. If you like the show, make sure to leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts.
Inside West Virginia Politics is a Nexstar Media Group production, hosted and managed by Mark Curtis. Inside West Virginia Politics is recorded and edited inside the studios of WOWK-TV in Charleston, West Virginia. All rights reserved.